The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Roszell Live by Dr. Tom Roszell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Roszell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. This is Dr. Tom Roszell. Indeed, you know, we have some amazing programs for you, and let me tell you, this is one of them I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of interest in. And simply because, you know, we want to keep you upright. We want to keep you walking. We want to give you the opportunity to be able to avoid, you know, surgical intervention and drugs and steroids and painkillers when, you know, it's at all possible. And we're going to be talking about actually an all too common situation. And we're talking about hip and knee pain and degeneration and how you can avoid surgery. And many of you have gone to your physician and said, well, you need a total hip, you need a knee replacement. Well, we'll watch it for right now. We'll just, you know, shoot you up with steroids until, you know, it gets to the place where you can't handle it anymore, and then we'll take the next step. Well, maybe there's a better way. And we're going to discuss that with somebody who I have tremendous amount of respect for, Dr. Scott Lamb. Scott, welcome to the program. And this is something that, you know, the Results Center sees so much of, unfortunately, on an ongoing basis, and hip and knee, but we see other joint spaces as well. But I want to focus in on this because this is something that affects so many people across the board. And at one point, they get to the place, I can't take it anymore because it's never been approached properly. And guess what happens? Now they have no other alternative except for surgery. So let's get into it. And again, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
You know, this is the first time we're at 12 noon in a long time. You know, we've shifted, and you know, you're the initiator. Well, you know, what better, right? So we're going to be on 12. We're going to be on 12 o'clock noon every Sunday from this point forward, since the Washington football team now will be on the sister channel on AM 630 on an ongoing basis. So this is free, and we're ready to go. And those people who have not been able to hear us live for a long time, who are in church or have other things going on at that time frame, now can listen in. So it's going to be good. Scott, awesome. Dr. Scott, let's start with this. Relative to incidence, relative to hip and knee pain, what's the guesstimate of how many people truly really suffer from this at one point or the other through their life? And what's kind of the age bracket that you begin to see this stuff?
Well, I mean, overall arthritis, I think everybody's probably going to be suffering to some extent arthritis, depending on, again, how well they take care of themselves. And, you know, some of the statistics is 1 out of 4, but I think when you start looking at about 25, 30 years of age, you start seeing things start breaking down depending on the type of, you know, exposures they have, diet and all those kind of things that play a part, and things start adding up after a period of time. And, a lot has to do with, I think, not only just the structural part, the chemical part. You know, when we start altering blood flow, when we start seeing even arteriosclerosis happening, where that means it's the plaquing that happens, the blood gets altered, and that doesn't affect the joints very well when that happens. And we've been seeing that since the possibility of hints of that even back when the 20s or even late teens with bad diets. So it starts early. The repercussions of it are shown when you get into your 40s, 30s, and 40s. So, you know, it's there, and we all can be very much susceptible to it.
So here's the situation. You have a lot of different triggering mechanisms. One of them is, even when it comes to the hip, is a shallow socket. And a lot of athletes will say, you know, when they do push-pull work with their legs, they hear the hip popping, or one side popping and not the other side. And you take an x-ray of it, you see that the portion that goes into the pelvis itself, not the leg bone itself, is flatter, and I'll use that term so people can have a better understanding of it, than the opposite side. So that femur head, if you will, the end point of that leg that sits in that socket, is not sitting properly, and you get snap, 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 snap. And then we have, you know, people with too much weight on their body, obviously, and it's going to put pressure on their hips and knees. And we have people who are athletes, and you know, you wonder why, how can a guy that can squat 600, 700, 800 pounds not break their joints down? Well, there's a lot of different mechanisms, but let's get into the predispositions leading up to somebody who, you know, we start seeing surgical intervention in 30s, but very significantly, you know, above 60. And there's many different types of problems. So what we want to talk about is, one, is it preventable? Is it preventable every time? Or are some people just destined, you know, to ultimately just put it off as long as we can, and then we'll really, you know, we'll have to do some surgical intervention. So let's explore that. There's a lot of natural ways of making this happen. So, Scott, in your opinion, when somebody comes in and they have hip pain and they have knee pain, is the majority of time, is it a cascade of osteoarthritis and degeneration that takes place, or is it other mechanical features that kind of present first?
I think it's probably a great deal. Those things are great. Other mechanical features that play a part. When I had my training in the CCSP, I mean, one of the things we talked about, which is a certified chiropractic sports physician, the knee and the hips, the knee especially, 80% of the time was not from the knee directly. It was from how are they working with their fit, the foot, the arch of the foot. If the arch of the foot wasn't holding or supporting well, you have rotational factors that happen where the foot might drop, rotates the knee in, and also the knee's taking this extra irritation. And you got to think about how many steps we take a day. You know, over a 10, we're walking over a million steps a day. If you're looking at 3,000 steps on a daily basis, you're over a million for the year. And so how many times do you put that into an abnormal, abnormal position, and the torque that happens, and you have torque and friction and things like that. And then you got, what's my dietary element? I mean, how well am I eating things so I can recuperate and I can rebuild something, or I can help take away, we're going to talk during the talk a little bit about proteolytic enzymes and how they break away some of these, some scar tissue that forms up. And how often we do the scar form, scar tissue forms, and all of a sudden the same thing at the hip and then the knee, and all of a sudden things start falling apart. So you can start seeing things, starting from the feet, from the foundation up, or even sometimes from the hip down. You can start seeing things like on the knee and the hip going from things that are distorted. I think one of the most important things for overall health, especially when we're getting in our 60s, is our pelvis being balanced. Is the pelvis level? If not, if it's torqued, then the whole system from the hip to the knee to the leg, one leg is shorter, one leg is longer. I've got a twist of my back to some extent. I've got additional pressures that are put on my lumbar spine. You know, it starts in an early stage, unless you have a traumatic type thing. Somebody gets a hip pointer in football or gets hit pretty strongly. Something usually predates that. That's caused that problem.
You know, you talked about a hip pointer in football. It could be any sport where there's trauma to the joint space. One of the things that occurs and has happened to many athletes is called avascular necrosis, where the blood supply to that joint has been damaged, and now the joint begins to break down. That's rare. That happens, but it's not something that you see on a regular basis. Interestingly. Yeah. And you brought it up, you know, kind of indirectly. People walk strangely. And, you know, there's a very dear friend of mine, Dr. David Lee, one of his favorite songs is by The Doors back in the day, and he's called People Are Strange. And you watch them walk. And as we do, we have people walking up and down the hallway in our practice. We watch them walk, but, you know, they walk like a platypus duck. You know, the feet are to the outside. That tells you that the mechanical relationships of muscles to joint spaces aren't firing, or they walk like a penguin. The feet are internally rotated, or you watch them walk and you see that there's one hip that is higher. That's a mechanical stress pattern that is causing an exaggeration on the structural components of the hip and knee. Subsequently, if it's not corrected, if things aren't dealt with appropriately, now you're going to have joint spaces that are going to wear and tear. They're going to break down because the muscles aren't firing properly. And it can be from anywhere in the spine. And as you talked about, from the feet up, you know, if the feet aren't working the way they're supposed to, if the arches are dropped and you have multiple arches within your foot that have to be supported, then the mechanics from that area up are not going to hold properly. So, you know, one thing that I would tell our listeners is, you know, if you have a partner at the house, have them watch you walk, and your feet should be in straight in front of you. Your stride should be equal one side to the other. And if it's not, that tells you got a mechanical problem that ultimately could cause a wear and tear issue on the knee or on the hip.
And I think one of the things is that, you know, you take a look at how often we do sometimes have people walking down. I usually put a tongue depressor between their teeth to have them walk, and they feel like they walk better. It's so much amazing when you're talking about input from other parts of the area of the body, or things are being turned off and the body's not aware. It's interesting. A lot of times we have a tendency when we're looking at problems on the body, we're looking for the tight muscle being the problem. And it's usually not the tight muscle. It's usually the muscle that's turned off due to some type of injury and it never really turned back on again. And this is kind of uniquely good for what we do in our practice, is that we got to make sure that the whole system's working. Even the jaw can throw the hip out to some extent. I don't know how many times, and you probably see it, probably about 25% of the time in the office, when somebody has something off, I check a jaw pattern, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, all of a sudden the hip is better. It's an amazing combination where there's interplay between the body in so many different ways, and then something's not working right, a muscle will turn off, another muscle will tighten up to try to take out the load, and all of a sudden now you got this imbalance that goes through the whole system.
You know, and mechanically people don't understand that. When I talk about people, it's not just the patient, obviously, because they're not trained to observe those things. But even physicians who are supposed to be in the neuromuscular game, your right shoulder and your left hip work together. Your right wrist and your left ankle work together. So you have these joint spaces that fire in a synchronous pattern, an orchestration, if you will. And sometimes we end up with a knee problem on one side of the body, and the problem is really the elbow on the opposite side, and the muscles have been misfiring. Now the body adapts mechanically and try to put up with it and deal with, and now you have the wear and tear and the irritation and the breakdown that is subtle over a period of time. Then you add that perhaps to excess weight. Every pound that you have around your belly that's not tight and too much is 4 pounds on your joint spaces down low, particularly your knee. So you end up with this ongoing irritation that is a wear and tear. My guest today in studio is Dr. Scott Lamp, one of our docs at the Results Center, who I have tremendous admiration for, and his ability to look at the structural components of the body and really see what's there. Scott is a certified sports physician, and so he sees these things ongoing. You have an opportunity this coming Wednesday evening, the 19th. We're already at the 19th of 2022. This is nuts. It's going by so fast. I'm feeling old by the moment. And you're going to have the ability to come at the Results Center for Healing, and we're in a very safe environment. We have HEPA filters all around. We clean this place and scrub it down like nobody's building. So join us, and all you have to do is go online at rosellcare.com. You can register online, and we'll give you a call back to confirm your reservation, or simply call 703-698-7117. We're coming up to a break, and we'll continue the conversation after we come back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're bringing you information that you can apply immediately, right now, tomorrow, and, you know, hopefully get you out of this knee and hip pain and save you the intervention of surgery. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we come into the second part of the program. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, indeed, as you do every Sunday on the channel that you're lifting into, 105.9 WMAL. And, you know, we're excited to present a program that way too many people have to deal with, and we're going to try to give you the opportunity to fix it. What are we talking about? We're talking about hip and knee pain problems, and the ones that your doctor says, well, you know, it's just a matter of time, but we're going to have to do surgical intervention. What if there was another way? What if we could do something that would not only put it off for a long time and give you your life back, but prevent it from ever happening? Is it possible? In many cases, it's very possible. This Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, the 19th of January, Dr. Scott Lamp, one of our best and brightest, particularly when it comes to joint space dysfunction, will be presenting. And Scott is my guest today on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and this is what we're talking about. Dr. Scott, welcome back. We have a short segment here, so let's get into just a little bit relative to the mechanics. Does the knee problem come first, or does the hip problem come first when it comes to pain and degeneration and breakdown and so forth?
Take your pick. I think, like we were talking about before, what's the first one that I think the thing is like, what is the first initial injury and has that been taken care of completely? The body likes to adapt a lot. And when it adapts, it actually adapts for the purpose of survival. If I got to hurt myself, I roll my ankle. I'm going to maybe put a little bit more pressure on my gastroc muscles to hold that, where my muscles on the other lateral stability muscles are not quite there. And so they adapt and they never go back to where they were properly. So who knows? No, it could be from an injury from a car accident. It could be a slip and fall. I do a twist on my knee or a twist on my hip. And again, the fulcrum of the knee is actually in between the hip and the ankle anyway. So you're going to have anything that happens there that happens down to the ankle is going to actually put a twist on that knee. So many factors play into this, Tom. And I think, again, when we talk about our triad of health, of structure, chemistry, and emotion, the other part of this is how well are we getting blood flow to these areas away from the biomechanical type things? The blood flow really makes a major part here. And if some of those are being altered or actually even adding body weight from, like you're talking about, too much weight on the body is going to create some big problems. And you know, like when we run, it's three times your body weight. Well, you know, certain parts of our body take up to 7 to 8 times our body weight. The pivoting of the gastroc on the Achilles tendon can sometimes take 7 to 8 times your body weight when you run appropriately. And if you're running inappropriately and you got those pressures on you, it's going to create some problems.
So you know, here's what you brought up: running. Everybody wants to go out and jog and run and so forth, and you know, you reach a certain place in life and running isn't what it's all cranked up to be, and it's not something that you should go out and just do for a lot of reasons. One, cardiovascular, and we could talk about that on another program. But the other piece is your joint spaces, because now you've got the wear and tear of sometimes inattention, if you will. You haven't taken care of yourself. Yep. You haven't strengthened your core. But you get out there and you start hammering those joints, and you have an inflammatory reaction. You have something that has been sitting there quietly, and I'm going to use the term eating you for a long period of time. It could be a viral pattern. You know, we're talking about viruses today and all these crazy different things that have come down that are the cousins of, you know, what we started 2 years ago. But there are other viruses as well. There's Epstein-Barr viruses. There's other types of coronaviruses. And these things have a habit of getting into the joint spaces and sitting there. And right. These cause an inflammatory cascade, an inflammatory reaction that causes the joint to be irritated and begin to break down.
And so I think some of these things, like we talk about autoimmune diseases too, like rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma, some of these things that lupus that are in this, that autoimmune that's supposed to be an unhidden cause, some of them are thought to be associated with viruses because viruses get inside the cellular structure or inside the cell and get hidden, and the body tries to find it, so it just attacks that whole system. We've got some of these things that, again, there's so many different pieces at play here. I think the big thing with arthritis is, can we keep our joint space? You lose the joint space and you get bone on bone. It's really hard to work with when you get into those circumstances, even if you bring in regenerative medicines and things like that. Joint on joint, it's really, really hard to work with.
It is. It's a challenge. What do I want to do is I want to get into exactly that topic, and can things be restored when we come back into the second part of the program. This is a fascinating subject. My body has been beaten up over a period of years, and you know, from playing ball in college and martial arts and multiple accidents and 45 years coming up in April treating patients. So it becomes much more of a challenge. This Wednesday evening, the 19th, Dr. Scott will be your presenter at the Rozell Center for Healing. Don't go away. We'll tell you more about that when we come back right after some extremely important information. Stay where you are.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, we have a really interesting program today, one that we're going to try to save you some money, but more importantly, we're going to try to save you pain and the chronic devastation of having to put up with something. What are we talking about? We're talking about back pain and its ability to be chronic and never go away. And but in this part of the program, we're going to tell you what's going on. We talked about its surgical failures, if you will. So, you know, if your doctor's talking to you about you have to have surgical intervention, you better stop and think a little bit before you decide to do that, because surgery has about a 50% failure rate when you look at it. You know, the American Journal of Medicine observed in the United States that there's 80,000 spine surgeries that fail annually. 80,000 that fail. That's incredible. Do the math. 80,000 times a minimum $70,000 each, and they're failures. That means that you go into the surgery and you don't come out any better than, you know, what it was. So about one in five patients who undergo spinal surgery for a degenerative disorder ends up returning for a revision procedure, a second operation. And as we said early on, your chances of that second operation working are very, very minimal. You have a 30% chance of success with the second surgery. And if they talk you into a third surgery, it goes down to 15%. And God forbid you have another one, you have a 5% chance of something becoming positive for you. I don't know about you, but the odds are like crazy. So, you know, there's a 50% chance after you have surgery that you're still going to have a lot of pain. Why would you take that risk? You know, I've been in the business now over 44 years, and we see post-surgical devastations. We see people that come into us, and fortunately, they've chosen to get conservative care before they do anything else. And the rate of success when you choose to do something other than, but you become proactive, and we're going to talk about what that means for you, what you have to do in addition to having us do something to you. If you combine the two, it's quite significant. You turn your life around. So let's get away from the failure of low back surgical intervention, and let's look at the conservative pieces. We have a country today where people are very sedentary. We have our iPhones, and we have our computers, and we have our iPads, and we're sitting all the time. We get in the car, we go from the house to wherever it is that we're going. We park as close as we can. We don't eat the way we're supposed to. Just take a look around you and see the size of people. That all by itself tells you that we're not moving, we're not exercising, and we're probably putting the wrong fuel in our body, because the body doesn't want to use it, so it goes into storage. See, that's what happens, right? You have to have so much energy. Body converts foods into sugar. But if you don't convert it and use it, the body says, okay, well, I'll put it away for a rainy day. And that rainy day becomes those extra pounds that we have stored in a lot of different places in our body. Well, not a good thing, because now it puts extra stress and strain on every joint space that you can possibly think of. So when you're dealing with that increased load, if you will, that increased biochemical stress, that the inflammatory reactions that can take place, you're causing yourself undue impairment that can lead to a place of debilitation and back pain. So do a gut check, okay? Think about, you know, am I eating the way I'm supposed to? Am I getting out and doing anything relative to exercise and the like? So let's talk about you've gone to a place, you got back pain, and you've been told, well, take these pills, and when those fail, we'll do some surgical intervention. So over 44 and a half years of treating all kinds of pain, chronic pains, debilitating pains, other health conditions, metabolic disorders, and so forth, the one thing that I know is true is that your chances of resolving a problem, if you work as a partner with your doctor, meaning your natural care doctor, your chiropractor, your osteopath, your, you know, and PT when it's necessary, you can resolve the greatest majority of situations. Just because your x-rays and your MRIs show that you have degenerative diseases or you have a bulging disc does not necessarily mean, in most cases it doesn't, that that's where the pain is coming from. In our office, we use spinal decompression. Non-surgical, non-invasive, not hurtful, a way of causing suction within the disc space to be able to increase circulatory pattern, opening up the gliding points, we call them facets in the back of the spine, and causing almost a suction to begin to pull that gel, which is a whole lot like toothpaste inside that disc space, back in, and do it frequently enough with nutritional guidance and so forth to allow it to begin to not only resolve the pain pattern, but to heal. And then when you couple that with low energy light laser and acupuncture, but the last piece, even if we get you out of pain, even if we get you, and the chances are that we're going to be able to do that and do it successfully, even if we're able to do that successfully, there's another piece that you have to become proactive in. And that other piece has to do with exercise. How many of you even get up and walk on a day-to-day basis? If you've heard, listened to Dr. Tom Rozelle live over a period of many years, you've heard me say numerous times that if you didn't do anything else, get outside and walk 2 miles a day. Now, I'm not telling you how fast to walk. I'm not telling you have to walk it all at one time. I'm just saying go out and walk 2 miles. You can put a headset on and go for a walk after dinner. You can do it in the morning when you first get up. Go walk 2 miles. What would that do for you by itself? Well, number one, it decreases your risk. If you did it every day, it decreases your risk of dying of a disease process, a pathology, by 50%. That's what the odds are. That's what it shows you. That's what the research is. You decrease your risk of dying of a disease by 50%. Where we talk about disease, we're talking about diabetes, we're talking about heart disease, we're talking about kidney problems, we're talking about metabolic disorders. You drop it by 50% and you get locomotion, you get movement. Life is motion. You have motion, you increase your life. So we want to produce positive effects and be able to get metabolites to begin to move outside of our body. There was a study that showed that participants were evaluated on how exercise affected their metabolism. Interesting, right? So we're talking about metabolism, but we're still talking about pain and low back problems. The researchers that did the study discovered that short bursts of intense exercise produce extremely positive effects to get rid of these lousy metabolites, if you will, that are associated with cardiovascular health and long-term health outcomes. Those people that engaged in vigorous exercise also had a much lower risk of all-cause mortality. Interesting, right? Compared to those who are moderately active, meaning, you know, 2-3 days a week and so forth, and compared into other studies. So, you know, let's talk about that. And what does that mean for your back pain? I don't want you to go out and start running like a crazy person if you've got back pain or if you have neck and shoulder pain. You have to start someplace. Where do you start? You start by doing things like walking and stretching and watching what goes in between those lips of yours so your body's not packing on the extra load that you got to carry around that your body has to stress itself over, right? So remember my old cliche, you know, avoid sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, you know, GMO foods and gluten products and so forth. Those are things that we have to be very, very careful of. And in today's world, particularly the GMO and the organic foods, if you're not doing that, you're getting all kinds of poisons in your body and your inflammatory levels go up and they have a tendency to accumulate. One of the things that we're finding also when it comes to joint pain and back pain is the accumulation of something called oxalates. Now, oxalates are these, you know, these little crystalline formations similar to but not the same thing as uric acid in somebody who has gout, and they get into joints. And if you're not moving, your body can't metabolize. You're not drinking enough water. You can't push these things out. And these oxalates can cause crystal formations within the kidneys and other areas. But we're finding that they get into joint spaces, and it's not okay. So we have to make sure that we exercise. So you start with stretching. You start with doing things that are low impactful, but you start doing them every day and you start getting your butt out and start walking. You know, when I lecture to doctors around the world, you know, we talk about, and I'm going to steal the term from a lecturer, a motivator, a guy by the name of Robin Sharma. And there's this thing called the 5 o'clock club. And that means that the most powerful and productive and successful people in the world get up at 5 o'clock in the morning before the rest of us even are opening our eyes. And you can move that 5 o'clock club to 6 o'clock. So what do they do? Why do they get up so early? Because they find that their most productive period of the time is in the morning. So they get up, and the first thing that they do, whether it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes, is they exercise. And they exercise over that period of time intensely, because you don't need a lot of time to exercise, but you have to do something. Some of them get out and they put, you know, 2 pounds in each hand, and they go for a very brisk walk, and they get their heart rate up, and they're pushing for intermittent firing of the body's cardiovascular system and so forth. So they're going to walk real, real, real fast for a couple, 2-3 minutes, and they slow the pace down. They walk real, real fast, and then they do some stretching and so forth, and that's their exercise. Some people do yoga, and then they get into a focused state of either meditation or prayer, and they focus on what they want to do, and they actually thank their body and see their body begin to repair itself. Interesting this, and I'm not trying to get into a metaphysical place with you at all, is that your body responds to the direction that you tell it to go. So whatever your mind says, your body follows through with. So it'll say, for example, let's go back to a guy by the name of Henry Ford. He said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. So if you tell your body it's going to heal, you visualize the healing process, you visualize your body getting better, without doubt, it takes a huge step in that direction. And every research pattern that's been done on those types of interventions show that that's true. But if you say, oh, I'm going to die, I'm beginning worse, and you know, when somebody says, how are you doing? Well, you know, life isn't as good as it should be. Guess what happens? Your body says, okay, I guess that's what we're supposed to be doing as well. But we want to make sure that we exercise, and you have to start someplace. So if you don't know what to do, the first thing that I would do, and there's so many things that are available online today, from very gentle, basic yoga and Pilates and stretching and things of that nature, and you can look at, see which one fits you the best. But some of us need an encouragement of having somebody kind of keep us responsible. We need a trainer. Go to the gym. Go to, you know, there's so many different places out there. And say, hey, I need somebody to help me begin to strengthen my body and get me to move a little bit. You know, if you haven't been moving for years and you got a few extra pounds around, it's not going to be easy for you to get going. And it's going to be much more motivating for you just to sit still and doing nothing. But the benefits of using a trainer, or even getting somebody to work out with, get a friend, let's go walk, you know, work, and we can all do it. When you go to the office, instead of parking up front, park in the back and walk to the office, or walk to the grocery store, you know, and park at the end of the parking lot, or, you know, do those things, but get somebody maybe to help you with that. So you hold each other responsible. You know, years ago, I used to be the on the road doc, if you will, by the guy by the name of Tony Robbins. And, you know, something that I learned from him was very profound, and we're going back years and years ago. He said, never leave the site of a decision, if you will, without taking an action step towards it. So if you decide after the program today that you're actually going to do something about your health and your wellness, and you're really going to, you know, make a decision that, you know, I've been in too much pain for too long, I've got to do something about it. Obviously, the drugs aren't working anymore. Get somebody who will hold you responsible. Get somebody who will, you know, be your not only your encourager, but somebody that's going to move you forward. Pick up that phone and say, hey, Pete, hey, Mary, listen, you know, I know that you're going to give me a hard time if I say I'm going to do something, I'm not going to do it. But more importantly, would you do it with me? You know, can we do something together? Can we go out and have that and walk every day? You know, Europeans and other parts of the world have a much greater health index than the United States of America. And we have all the resources around us. Why do they do that? Well, they walk everywhere and they get into social interactions and they do things that we don't do. So why don't we change something? Why don't we get off our derrieres and begin to do things that will be supportive of that? Let's get out of the slump. Let's do something that perhaps we didn't do it in that back pain that you have over a 50% failure rate with. Guess what? You may not have to go that. But spinal decompression with any kind of back pain, whether it's neck pain or low back pain, works extremely well. And it's non-invasive. It's not going to cut you. And your chances of resolution are extremely high. But when you combine the two and you add the dietary piece to it, you've got something that is extraordinary. And in my experience, after 44 and a half years of practice, bears that out. We see patients who have horrible pain patterns that resolve themselves. And if you want to talk to one of the guys at, you know, Results Center for Healing, just go online and find it and make it happen. And we'll be more than happy to, you know, tell you exactly what it takes, what it needs to be done. But your responsibilities, by the way, to becoming part of the process. We're coming up to a break, and I hope, you know, if nothing else today, you have an idea that you can do something differently. But don't go away. I have much more for you. I'll be right back after some very important messages.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at 11 a.m. Those of you who are different parts of the country, first, we thank you, but you know what the drill is, you know the time. And as always, we so appreciate our men and women in the military. And you reach out to us, and we always try to get back to you as best that we possibly can. Know that we're here for you, and all you have to do is, you know, send me a note, and I try to answer myself because I love you guys and everything that you've done for us. So, you know, go to drtomrozelle.com or go to rozellecare.com, and I will get back to you as rapidly as I possibly can and give you my opinions that will help you in your search for data. Want to remind you all that we're back in office now doing our in-house continuing education programs every other Wednesday evening. And you'll hear it advertised here, but you also will see the different classes that we offer at rozellecare.com. Don't forget to check out the podcast. We've got some really good ones out there. We're going to try to hit all kinds of different areas of interest in health and have some great interviews with people. But you get to see, you know, this crazy face of mine and my guests. And we're going to try to, you know, serve you at the highest level possible. If you want to become part of anything we're doing, just reach out and do that as well. You know, we have our docs back out now, and you'll see them doing in-house lectures and so forth. And those of you who have companies or organizations or groups, if you'd like to have any of the doctors at the Results Center or come in and lecture to you and do a presentation on a certain topic, we can make that happen as well. All you have to do is reach out to Results Center for Healing or send me a note and I'll pass it on. But ask for Dareth Painter or Sybil McFarlane and just say, hey, listen, can you set up one of the doctors to come out and give us a lecture on whatever it is? And I promise you we'll make that happen. If you come into the office or any of our offices, we have HEPA filters, so we're knocking out 99% of anything that's around there. We're keeping the office extremely safe, but we're there to serve you. Whatever your sensitivities are, we'll do our best to make sure that you're comfortable and we make you part of the process of turning things around so you can get your health back. And remember, I'm going to give you a different side of the puzzle as it goes through. I'm going to tell you the things that you can do to help yourself. I'm going to show you that if you keep your vitamin D level nice and high, meaning well above 50 on the scale, the laboratory levels around here, usually 30 to 100, your sweet spot's about 75 or 80. And you know, I'm going to tell you a real quick news item when it comes to that. The World Health Organization just published a list of countries around the world that have the greatest morbidity and mortality rate when it comes to COVID. And unfortunately, the United States is pretty high. But do you know the one country that is way down at the bottom? It's Sweden. Remember in the beginning, they didn't mask, they haven't vaccinated, they haven't isolated, they haven't done anything. Guess where they are when it comes to mortality and morbidity? Number 40. Why is that? It's because they have part of their healthcare policy that every year everybody's measured for vitamin D. And if your vitamin D is low, you take vitamin D. So you got a country that's taking a ton of vitamin D, so they're not getting sick. Interesting, right? Let me know what I can do for you. Let me know what interest that you have, and make sure you check us out. Go to drtomrozell.com. We're here every Sunday trying to bring you the pieces of the puzzle that you're not going to get anyplace else. Try to make it a little bit of controversial to provoke you, to make you think. And if I can do that, perhaps we've made your life better, longer, and at a much higher quality. That's why we do what we do. And we continue to provide that information both inside and outside the practice. And as I teach worldwide, I do it for one reason and one reason only. It's simply this. I love you all. Have a great week. I'll see you next time. Bye.